All right. Well, sad to say, this is the final broadcast of the Where Eagles Dare podcast because sadly the Eagles lost and we don't want to do it anymore because it's not fun now. So we actually have to deal with a loss. So goodbye, everyone. No, I'm just kidding. We're here and we're back. It is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby, streaming every week on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And we're not going to quit because of a loss. I mean, if we would have, we would never have gotten started last year in this kind of situation. We are Eagles fans for life. We still are optimistic about this team, but last night, let's just start off the bat, was not good. Last night was not fun. It was the opposite of all the first eight games, and this one was the just a big, fat stinker. There's no other way to put it. It was lousy to have to sit through. I was in agony. I was in agony after 14-7. I was actually kind of nervous after the first Commanders drive because they were running the ball down our throats, and it was clear to me that Gannon did not, decide to adjust from what Damian Pierce did. I mean, if anything, you had all that time from a week ago Thursday. And there's the score right there, Washington 32, which that last touchdown, it is what it is. But 32-21, really like 26-21. The scoreboard looks a little bit worse than it was. But actually, maybe it looks better than it was, to be honest with you, the way the Eagles were dominated on the defensive side of the ball. But the thing that really like killed me was when Gannon had all that time from a week from Thursday to adjust what Damian Pierce did, and he did absolutely nothing. He came right back out with six men in the box and stayed that way for a majority of this game. I don't know many coaches that would have the cojones or just the lack of sense to not switch up your defense when you can see in the first drive. I predicted it last week. I said in our preview that what we are going to see from the Commanders compared to the first game. In the first game, they let guys run free down the sidelines, and they were hoping Wentz could hit him, deep, and we sacked him nine times. They weren't going to do that again. Why have you got two safeties the whole entire game? Almost the entire game, you had two safeties deep doing absolutely nothing. So that first drive, I'm watching him go for 5 yards a clip, and I'm like, oh, man. And it just, like I said, when you get that feeling in your gut, you're just helpless. You're just helpless as a fan. You know what they were going to do. A heavy dose of runs is what I said. Short passes, slants, and then the zone was going to kick in and give up first downs. We couldn't get off the field and third down. And a big part of that was because they were running the ball down our throat. And yet Gannon did absolutely nothing about it, and it was going into today. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to feel. I just do know that this guy, who I've said from last year and I've said from the beginning, I've given him credit when he's ran good defenses, but I'm always nervous. I say it every single week. I don't know what this guy's going to do because I think that the players have bailed him out week after week by making big plays. And this guy's scheme, and like a lot of other defensive gurus in the field, have this shell coverage scheme that is, I don't know how this infected the NFL, but it's complete and utter garbage. And so without going like too down a rabbit hole, right off the bat, I was nervous about this game. I was nervous about Gannon going in. And then when they ran the ball on their first drive, actually, besides the fumble, that was technically their first drive, was the fumble and the touchdown that the Eagles converted. I was shitting bricks. I was there right there. I was done. When did you start to realize that the wheels were starting to fall off in this game?
You said a lot there.
I know. There's a lot to process in my brain right now. I have been going over this since I went to bed. I laid in bed for like a half an hour, just ticked off at the world and at everything that went wrong in this game. But that after laying there thinking about it, the biggest recipient of my anger was Gannon in the end. 40 minutes of time of possession for one team. He gave up so much time of possession last year, and yet he looked like the defense from last year. He's not learned anything. Anyway, back to you. I'll take a breath now.
Nah, because it was a very frustrating game on so many levels last night. So yeah, I mean, you're on to something, man. Like you said, opened up, you know, excited because, you know, Sweat comes out, boom, we get the strip sack. We go, all right, cool. Their line still can't hold us. Their line still can't hold us, you know. And then 13 play drive, 75 yards, 7 minutes and 21 seconds. That's when I was like, ah, that's not good. You know, if you're going to hit Curtis Samuels on a shot downfield for 45 or something, you guys score on a big play, okay, cool, because we haven't given up that many big plays this year. But we just looked helpless on our defensive line. And I was like, well, shoot, this is the beginning of the game. It only goes downhill from here. You only get tired from here, you know. So that first drive, I was like, man, they really just kind of ran it on us and did basically whatever they wanted to. 7 minutes, I was like, man, that's going to throw our offense out of sync. That was the first thing clicked in my head. Like, damn, a whole half a quarter and they're still sitting over there? Here we go. But we come right back in. 78 yards. And we scored a touchdown. And I was like, okay. You know, all right, let's just play some football. And then it was just more of the same from the Commanders with us. They would rock us to sleep with the run and then boop, hit us with a shot right to Slay falling asleep out there. It's like our DBs were like, they were so used to the run that it's like they fell asleep. And when it was time for a pass, they were just out of sync. They ran the ball so efficient that they threw our DBs out of sync, if that makes sense. Because they're constantly blocking every play now or getting manhandled with every play. That's wearing them down. Then you got to turn around and pop out for guarding these very, very, very good receivers that they have, man. And, yeah, man, Gannon, I think what frustrated me the most about this game was the lack of adjustments. That's really, you understand, like, you know, we lost. Okay, cool. Like that was going to happen at some point. Eagles aren't some perfect team that's been together for 5 or 6 years. You know, this is still a fairly newly put together team. You know, AJ, you know, first year. And it was just some fluke plays, man. And then it's kind of like in soccer where you'll see that ball just bounce real weird in like the first 10 minutes of a football, you know, a soccer match. And you just go, man, everything's just kind of bouncing the other team's way. They just get a little touch to the ball. Their DBs were like that. Their DBs made so many good plays. They were all over our guys. That's how you come up with that A.J. Brown interception. It's kind of a fluke because it literally hits A.J. in both his hands. I thought it was just a clean pick, but it literally hits A.J. in both his hands. I mean, if I was to show you that first picture and then told you that the ball ended up in the guy's hands that's above him, you would be like, how?
Exactly.
you get me? Yeah. How does that ball end up in the 22's hands? You know, it was just, and when I seen it bounce like that, it's kind of like an own goal. You're just like, man, that really sucked. What just happened there? Okay. And then that was like, this is very indicative of the entire night, man.
Yeah.
Just little things that you normally don't see us do. And we continue to do it. And it just never really got better. We didn't really run the ball to start. I thought that was a problem.
Yeah.
With Sanders going in, I don't want to skip the whole first half, but just making a note, with Sanders going into the second half with only one carry, it was like one for Sanders, I think one for Gainwell or something like that.
Yeah, I think they ran Gainwell maybe two. It was ridiculous, yeah, the lack of running. And then if Gainwell's out carrying Sanders and again 2-1, they can't have that. You can't have it. And it means your game plan was mismanaged. And the thing that I'm surprised at, but again, this is a young coaching staff. I'm surprised that they actually thought that the stuff that worked the first time we played Washington would work this time. That's never how it goes. I mean, these guys are professional NFL people who've been around this league for a while. You know this. We have been fans for years, and we know this, that the team that you beat is going to come back with a different game plan, and you should as well. They're not going to give up the deep ball like they did to Devontae Smith in game one. They double-covered A.J. Brown as much as they could. They were manhandling our receivers. Why do you think that we were going to Quez and Pascal? Because they were covering our two best receivers and just covering them extremely well. One thing I will say about this A.J. Brown, though, is that if you look at 28-29 or whatever behind, with I think that's Juice, he actually made contact before the ball got there. And you could see as the ball is coming into his hands, he's draped over him. And a flag was thrown. I don't know how many times I've seen a game where a flag has been thrown. It was like two or three times in this game. And they talked themselves out of a penalty against the Commanders. And this was one of them. This, in my opinion, I watched the guy tell the other ref, no, it's not. And they picked up the interference flag. No. If one official says it's interference, you better have a damn good reason to say why it's not. But yet this officiating crew, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be that Cowboy fan that says, we lost because of the refs. Because I'll say that right now, we didn't completely lose because of the refs. But boy, they had a hand in it. Yeah. They did not. This crew was probably the worst we've had all year. And again, not making excuses, because the real blame needs to be laid on our defense, specifically our defensive coordinator, in my eyes, after I think about everything. You give up 40 minutes of time of possession, I'm not worried so much about the refs. And everybody agrees with that. But damn, these guys were bad. And it's been bad across the board. The refereeing in the Green Bay-Dallas game, as much as I love to see Dallas lose, was horrible. The Buffalo-Minnesota game, how do you miss that Gabe Davis drops that ball? That's an easy call to make, and they don't even, at the end of the game. Why are you not going to replay? That's your job. You got one job. So many things in this game, when you're in a game, a tight division game, you expect guys that are paid professionals to referee a game fairly and accurately, and they did neither. I'll even put my hand up and go, the Commanders got robbed on the pass interference that they did really commit on the play that put the ball on the goal line for the Eagles in the first quarter. I didn't think that
was. I thought it was enough there.
I thought it was weak.
I thought it was the full extension. It may have been a little soft.
I thought it was weak. I thought
when you make that push, it throws Devontae offline.
Yeah.
So once, even if it's the slightest push, I mean, you can do so much with that. You can go illegal contact downfield.
Yeah.
So there was a call there, but I just think when that ball's in the air, illegal contact turns into pass interference.
Right.
When the ball's in the air. So that's why I was like, I didn't think it was that soft. Devontae is small, so the reactions are going to be a little different.
Right.
It was a slight push. I didn't have a problem with that one. Even as an Eagles, I know I'm not even being a biased Eagles fan.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm really not. I thought it was something there. I'm not saying it was the most egregious pass interference call, but I thought it was something there for them to call it. And if you look at who called it, it wasn't the back ref, not the back judge. He didn't make that call because he can't really see that push. The line judge running down the field, because he can see that the extension of, I think it was St. Juice.
It was St. Juice, yeah.
He can see the extension of the arm and the reaction of Devontae, and I think that's why, we have two separate opinions on it. The back judge thought it wasn't pass interference, and the other guy says, I think that push was enough, because Devontae is small. A.J. Brown probably doesn't get that call because he's bigger, and it probably is not as effective. Right. So, You know, but none of them was worse than, I think you about to prompt it up now.
Yeah. This was the one, honestly, like I say, so we'll get this out of the way. I mean, there's really not, we don't need to break the game down. We know how bad it was. But breaking this down by just talking about the bad calls, the officials did a horrible job. And granted, again, you know, I was watching or listening to Ross Tucker today, big Philly guy, doing his radio broadcast, and he said it. He says, I don't want to hear about the officials. And I agree, because the Eagles shouldn't have let the Commanders run all over them like they did. But in a close game, when you're really, really fighting to stay in a game and you're having a bad game, because we've seen teams that are playing poorly end up winning games like this. And the Eagles, for all that they were doing wrong, this was a game that when this happened, they were down 23-21,
right,
and moving the ball. And clearly, Dallas Goedert, you could see it in real time. You could see it in slow-mo. Yeah. It was unmistakable. And it was a complete and utter miss. He ended up fumbling the ball. They, of course, if you throw a flag, there is no fumble. They actually ran it back and initially gave him the touchdown, then ruled the guy down. But here's the thing with this play. This is the thing that annoys me the most, is look at the back judge right here. If you saw it in the replay, I saw it right in the replay.
There. Oh, yeah.
He is looking right at it. And I'm telling you, dude, if you're not looking right at it, what are you doing? This is your job. You should be looking where the ball is. That's your one job. And so this meme basically says right here, back judge 93, perfect position to see the face mask. Instead, he hit the over 43.5 in the commies, so he saw nothing. It makes you wonder what he was doing if you don't see that play. So again, that costs the Eagles another 3 points that put them down 26-21 when they could have driven to take the lead 24-23, and it was robbed from them. And yeah, again, I don't want to say that because God knows they probably still could have lost the way Gannon was calling that defensive game, and it is what it is. So, and then if you want to talk about another one at the end of the game is this thing right here. Look at this. This is called roughing the passer. This was a soccer dive on par with the Premier League or an NBA flop, whatever you want to call it. And so I will say this. Congrats to Taylor Heinicke for the Oscar performance of the year. It was brilliant. It was a great thing to do. You see how excited he got up because he knew what he did. And he knew he did it. He jobbed the ref. The ref was too influenced to be able to do his job properly, because you can't tell me that even though Graham slides into him, he doesn't make any forcible contact. If you watch it again,
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The contact is Heinicke moving into Graham as he's sliding into him and then jumping back like he'd been shot in the head, like he was JFK in 19 in Dallas. I mean, literally, that's how his head flew back. And then he looks at the ref immediately to get that flag.
Oh, yeah.
And Hassan Reddick and Graham are both on their knees when they make contact with Heinicke. How is that forcible contact? Yeah. That is momentum, and they're trying to prevent a guy from getting back up and run the ball. Because if he kneels on it, it's not the same as sliding. They don't blow the whistle until he's touched. If he slides, he's down right there. So Heinicke knew what he was doing, and it was brilliant. But again, bad officiating. Because again, the Eagles could have had the ball with one more chance at possible victory. Instead, the refs insert themselves into the situation and take away what was possible a chance for the Eagles.
You know what I did take away from this game is one, the Commanders aren't better than us. Mm-mm. Because they needed everything. They needed everything to go their way, and everything did. The ball didn't bounce in the Eagles' way. I mean, think about even so dig this. We're only so down 23-14 right after the slide, after they score five times in a row. We finally stop them, right? And then that's the 12 play drive in the fourth quarter. 80 yards, Devontae Smith, 11 yard touchdown. You go, look at this. Look at everything, all the mistakes we've made. Mm-hmm. Everything Washington has done, and it's a 2-point game.
Yep.
2-point game. And mind you, let's keep it real. some improbable field goals. Sly with that 58 yarder, right? A career high. And then remember, you know, that this also goes to last week when I said Elliott should make a 54 indoors. He's making 58 out there in Philly. It was cold as hell. He's still banging 58, and it was good for 60.
Yeah,
when it went through. Kick. So you had two tough field goals from Sly, man. The 58 yard. That's when I say everything. Your guys kicking from 58 in Philly. Come on, not in Georgia, not in some warm weather environment, not out here in Denver where the ball flies further, even if it's cold. Some massive field goals by Sly. Massive. If we would have even got a first down after Brian Robinson scored with a minute 32 left in the second quarter, even if we get a first down, you know, that Devontae Smith touchdown puts us up. It's so many, and look how much they got in that game, and it was just little things here and there. I thought the offense, for what it was worth, for the lack of rhythm they were able to establish, I still thought they played solid. Because if you look at the three turnovers, you got the A.J. Brown turnover. If he catches that, that's a scoring drive. Jalen Watkins, I mean, you kidding me? On the Jalen Watkins, I mean, how unlucky are we to, I mean, Hurts makes the right move, you know, right read, right throw, boom. And the thing is, he wasn't even touched. So he should be walking into the end zone, man. You know, it was like off balance. What also makes us unlucky. You know what I'm saying? Off balance. What was that?
That's a question.
Oh, when he got up and punched it out. Yeah. Yep. So he, it wasn't even really a diving catch. It kind of hit him right there. And he kind of trips over himself.
Yeah. Again,
goofiness, man. You know, you're supposed to catch that and walk that right in, Jalen. Yeah. But he catches it, trips over himself. Then you get up, you know there's people around you, bro. How do you not know there's people around you? Mm-hmm. Protect the football. We were only down 5 at that moment. 5. Think about everything Washington got from us, and we were still only down 5 with a chance to at least get a field goal there, because Watkins right in, he's right there, right? Yeah. And then Slade turns, you know, and then we stop him, and then that's the one you showed where Graham, just unfortunate, man. I saw it was like it happened in slow motion. Mm-hmm. Even though he didn't hit him, I'm like, Graham, no, like, let's stop. Well, because it was so delayed.
Yeah.
I think, and you, when you have the white hat throw it, nobody's coming over there to convince him otherwise. Yeah. If maybe like an ump or somebody else had threw it, the white hat would have probably said, I'm not going to end the game like this. Minute 30 seconds. I thought the Eagles were, in those last couple drives, Watkins, we had a few three and outs, but I thought that was lack of rhythm, but, you know, whatever. I mean, we're not going to score every drive. But once we did get a little rhythm, when they were getting little stops, you saw the offense click a little bit. And I was just like, man, I just wish they had more time. We started actually running the ball with Sanders. You know, just getting back to regular football. It was like once the pass started working, that's the only thing we wanted to do. And it was like right before, I think it was the A.J. Brown one, I was like, man, we're getting really pass happy. Just thinking to myself, and then, whoop, take the big shot. You know, was it the right play? I guess in hindsight, yes. We just get unfortunate. But I guess that guy that's really early on A.J., he's the one that's driving A.J. Brown's arms now, and that ball pops up because he's so early on A.J.'s arm. But think about that, how they were like just a half a second on little things to us. Like, but you, everywhere they were somebody right there, man, hitting us. That one play with AJ on that big third down, AJ comes out of his break. Dude just breaks right down the ball. Boom. You know, just comes right down. Very sure. We didn't even have our corners doing that. Our corners always looked like they were trailing. They always looked like they were chasing shadows. They always look a step behind. Even when CeeDee came down on that big third down, McLaurin just ran right past him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Heineken just goes, huh, boop, I know that spot is open. That was just too easy, man. Just too easy, man. On a lot of – we got to do something, man, about our pass coverage. I'm not going to get all crazy about, but we definitely need to figure out what's going on and what do we have to sacrifice in order to stop the run.
What you know, you said it right there. You were talking about the way they played defense and the way we played defense, and it all comes down to a coordinator. You can accuse Jack Del Rio of a million things in life, a million things, but you can never accuse him of being a bad defensive coordinator. His teams are aggressive, but not aggressive to a fault. Aggressive, and they tend to be able to put enough pressure on the quarterback to create mistakes and to be able to cover well. The reason Washington doesn't win games is usually, especially when Chase Young's on the field or Sweat, it's not the defense. It's not the defense's fault. He is well coached. Gannon, on the other hand, and I've talked about this before, we talk about Slay having a bad game and our corners not being up. I was watching that coverage, and it was, again, it's like when Gannon starts to get full of himself, he abandons what works in favor of what his ego tells him to do and what his scheme is. Because he doesn't believe that his scheme is trash. He thinks that a shell coverage with two deep safeties, and I'm not talking about just regular deep safeties, I'm talking 20 yards off the ball deep, which if you watch where the Eagles put their safeties, you might as well put them in the end zone, because that's all they're trying to do is protect the end zone. That's it. Protect
the end zone. That's
good. So you get no help from the safeties in the run. You get no safety blitzes to take them off guard when you've got just your corners covering their receivers and you're bringing that safety in. You get none of that. And what it does to Slay, what it does to Bradbury, it puts them out of position to make any sort of play. You got them 10 yards off the ball most of the time. Occasionally you brought them up. So when the ball is snapped and they're going looking for holes in the zone, it's easy. It's easy for a guy like Heinicke. And granted, he didn't even have to pass for that many yards. All he had to do was keep extending drives, because the Eagles were giving them third and short every single time, because they're giving up 3.5 yards per carry at least on every play. And a reason they're doing that is because
they felt so off the back foot throws.
Oh yeah.
Lobs. None of them really had super zip. I think that's what pissed me off a little bit too. Is just like, our coverage is so soft that he doesn't even have to have zip on the ball. No. You notice how he kind of throws it from the hip sometimes. I don't know if he kind of has a weird hitch in his throw sometimes, where he'll kind of just pop it out there from the side. It's not a lot of times the over the shoulder type throw. And I just think like, man, sometimes I feel like, man, only Epps is balling out there. He really brings it most games. It's CD as well, too.
CD.
Johnson. Key breakup, because Slay was getting torched on that. I think it was the McLaren play again, where CD comes and breaks it up.
Yeah.
In the end zone.
CD was the where CD got his pick was, Slay would have been, if it had just been Slay, he would have, that would have been a touchdown. So, yeah, right. it was a, exactly. that would have definitely would have been a touchdown. But, yeah, I think part of it is Slay did have an off night. I agree with you, but I do think that Gannon does not put these guys in position to win, because I love our defensive roster. I think with Jack Del Rio coaching the Eagles defense, I think we wouldn't have lost that game for sure. Or anybody that coaches a variation, a mask of the scheme. Because with Gannon, what you see is what you get. And defenses know. They know now. They are going to – and so here's the thing that really worries me going forward, because number one, for all the Eagle haters out there and everybody who is happy that we lost because we don't have a chance to go undefeated, no one on this podcast and no really real Eagle fan thought that they were going to go undefeated. No one thought that. We hoped that our defensive coordinator would play well. We believed in our offense, but we hoped our defense would at least do enough to get us to a division title. But my problem is, after what we saw in Houston and after what we saw last night with the running game and the time of possession battle, the Texans had a better time of possession last game. So I worry about the next three games. The next three games are going to show us a lot about this defense and our defensive coordinator, because we've got Indianapolis coming up Sunday. I'm going to be at that game. So we got Jonathan Taylor, who is now returned to form. We got Jeff Saturday, like I said last week, who is a new head coach. He's inexperienced, so what's he going to do? He's going back to basics. He's going to run the ball, play defense, and let Matt Ryan do just as little as possible to help win that game. So this game is not a given coming up against the Colts. The Colts are not the same team they were under Frank Reich. Then we've got Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. Holy crap. These guys just beat the Cowboys. Granted, it was at home. They got to come to the link. But you got Aaron Rodgers starting to feel himself again. You got Aaron Jones and Dillon, A.J. Dillon, who can both run the ball extremely well. And if we don't change our scheme, that one's going to kill us. And then, Lord have mercy, what do we got after that? We got to go and play Tennessee with King Henry. Right. Those three games right there are going to, there is a likelihood that we could lose all three of those games. And I'm not talking a little bit of a likelihood. That's a 50-50 on those games. Now, the Indianapolis one, hopefully they'll go in and play a little bit harder, but it really comes down to how Gannon fixes this run defense. Because if he doesn't start bringing an extra linebacker in on first and second down, because you notice we were running Hassan Reddick up on the line of scrimmage and just had two linebackers in the middle, and that's not going to get it done. Six men in the box ain't going to get it done. So it all depends on what Gannon does to fix this run D. Now, somebody pointed out today, I saw it with Jordan Davis being out, the Eagles with Jordan Davis in are averaging giving up about 3.4 yards per carry. With Jordan Davis out of the lineup since his injury, it's 5.7 yards a carry is what they're averaging without Davis in the lineup. That's unbelievably bad.
Yeah, that's a big change. And, you know, we saw that. Look, we're not surprised that we lost because of the run game. We knew that was our weak point. We knew nobody was going to really throw the ball all over us, even though, you know, McLaren, he has some good numbers, but they didn't really throw the ball.
No, we can look at it real quick.
All over on us. They were hit and miss at times, but they just threw the ball well in the key moments on some key third downs, some little, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, we have to figure out, you know what's kind of mind-boggling to me, man, is how Fletcher Cox isn't even getting penetration. You know, no pun intended. But, you know, he's getting pushed off the ball. Yeah. He's getting pushed off the ball like crazy. So when you look at our roster, you go, okay, we have Fletch and we have Hargraves. I mean, these guys are supposed to, you know, you have Milton Williams.
Yep.
You know, like, these guys are supposed to be, you know, big dogs on that defensive line. You know, one big thing we didn't talk about.
What's that?
Is Goddard's injury.
Yeah, I hadn't even got there yet, but that's...
Yeah, we are going through it. Yeah. We should have led with that. Like, did you know we lost Goddard? He's been such a vocal point for our team. That's a really big injury that I was just like, oh, yeah, and... Besides everything we've already talked about, and we lost Goddard for a little bit as well, too. So that sucks, man.
Yeah, we're in a bad spot.
You want to bring snaps
up? What's that?
Bring snaps up. Staying
on the Goddard train or the injury train, we're in dire straits right now as far as injuries are concerned, because we've got Goddard out now. We've got Jordan Davis, who's still got a couple more games left before he's even eligible to come back. They did say he was walking around without a walking boot. But whether he'll be back in time for the Tennessee game, it could happen. We got Avante Maddox out that's going to miss four games. And then now we've just been told that Goddard's going to miss four games. Out of all of those, Goddard is the worst one to lose, because he is such an integral part of the offensive capabilities, the quick strike capabilities. He does so much for this team. And we're hurting right now after this Washington game. It is not good. And what we're rolling with guys like Kevon Wallace and Josiah Scott, it's not the same. It's not the same on the offensive defensive side of the ball. Anyway.
No, man.
Oops, sorry. Let me bring the stats back up. All right. So.
Hello.
There we go.
You brought the stat up.
Yeah.
Man. So if you look at even Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
He had 11 of those carries were in that second half.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of designated runs to Jalen. I was surprised only Gainwell and Scott. We just didn't run the ball. It felt like the Eagles started to press earlier than they should with the happiness of the throws. Even when it was 7-7, we came back out, boom, we scored 14. And I think that made us a little overconfident, say, oh, man, we just sit out here and throw the ball, we'll be fine. But it's like the strengths still come from our line, and that's they like to run the ball. And I thought the game really slowed down and got into our favor more, started, you know, slowing down for us and go, okay, maybe we can come back and win this when we started running the ball. And I thought Sanders had another good day. Like he didn't get the ball that much, but I thought he had a really good day. I thought Hurts played well for what it's worth. I thought he played well. Most of the mistakes wasn't really on him. You got the AJ Brown when it was tight coverage, but if it hit your hands, you know, technically you got to catch those. Nothing he could do about the Watkins, nothing he could do about the Goddard.
Or the Smith. I mean, at the end of the game, there's three fumbles. Devontae Smith fumbled at the end of the game, you know, lost it. Cost him the end of the game.
That when they was trying that trick play.
Yeah.
Try to come back.
That's nothing. So you got four turnovers on the score. You're not going to win a game when you have four turnovers, three during the course of the regular game. And they still had a chance, granted, if it wasn't for the face mask and everything like that. But the thing that really irritates me when I look at the stat sheet, if we go into just the regular stats, is the one here, the time of possession, 40 to 19. And that's just, that can't happen. That can't happen. You can't give up 40 minutes. Because this is when you look at the regular stat line for, when you look at the regular stat line for the Commanders, you got Heinicke with 211 yards passing. You've got Robinson with 86 yards rushing, Gibson with 44. You got McLaurin with 128, but then you've only got Samuel next at 28. On paper, this looks like the defense did its job. It really does, even though they gave up 32 points. You know, the defense did its job. But that's not how you can judge Gannon. You really have to judge Gannon based on the time of possession, because that when you're giving up the constant giving up these long drives where you're giving up third in ones and thirds and two because you're giving up so much on the ground, that's what's got to be fixed. And Eagles know this. I mean, you can't tell me Sirianni doesn't know one of the main reasons they lost that game is because they could not stop the run. You know, a total of 152 rushing yards doesn't really look bad on paper, but if you watch the game, it's the matter that they were constantly running up the middle, and the Eagles could not stop them from getting 3 yards a carry. So as long as they were getting that, they were going to keep grinding it out, and that's what they did. It's ridiculous.
The penalties, 7 penalties for 75 yards as well, too. I mean, how can you win like that, man? You gave up 75 yards, a lot of key penalties. I mean, you just name it, man, and it happened for the Eagles. But the fumbles, the turnovers in general, just uncharacteristic for us, man. I can. That's why, you know, I know we have the Colts coming up, still a team that we should beat. They have Jonathan Taylor who could absolutely kill us. So we got to figure out something with that. But the Colts line hasn't been as good as of late, and that's part of their struggles this year. That's why, you know, Taylor hasn't really went off as much. They've had some struggles there, but I mean, they got Pittman, you know, we'll preview the Colts game. We get to that, but we have, like you said, the Green Bay game. You know, I still think we should be able to handle Green Bay. Having Goddard out could be an issue for us because, you know, he's been such a big part of the offense. So Jalen Watkins is going to have to get his confidence up because somebody has to pick up those Goddard touches, and it's probably not going to be stole all that much. He'll probably get a few, but that changes the offense a lot. Remember, Goddard does the tight end screens, you know, big on third downs. So that's low key. The Eagles have to change how their offense worked a little bit, and he can block as well too. So Stoll can block. You know, fair enough, but he's not a good tight end like Goddard is, man. You know, you hear him now, they talk about Goddard being top five or one of the best in the league right now because he's having that type of year. So, and then, King Henry is going to be a beast to stop, man. But I think all of those games are very winnable games, man. We just have to keep doing. We just got outplayed on this one with the run. It really threw everything off. Our offense still, you know, looked pretty much like our offense. I didn't really see anything crazy there. We just made just unfortunate mistakes. That Watkins one really almost made me lose it. Cause I was like, how unlucky is that? That's when I was like, man, the writing's on the wall. Sometimes it's nothing you can do, man. It's just every bounce of the ball just doesn't go in your favor. And it just felt like that all night. Every little third down, every time you thought they held them up and then they fell for another 2 or 3 yards, it just got exhausting, man. Just that whole night.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, we're going to, like I said, we've got three really, and then there's the schedule doesn't get easier after that. We got division games against the Giants and the Cowboys not long after those three games. And then we got to go to Chicago. So, and that's not a given knowing that what Justin Fields can do. So the everybody who complained about the Eagles not having a tough schedule, they're about to get their wish, and they're either going to prove themselves or they're going to end up floundering and end up finishing second or third in the division. Still maybe making the playoffs because they already got 8 wins that they should make the playoffs. But, man, right now we're talking, we're only one game up on the Giants with a lot of tough games coming up. So we're going to see what this team is made of. That's without a doubt. And like you said, I agree with you that the next three games are winnable. It's just that they're also very losable as well if they play like they did against Washington. I do like what's coming out of the game, the way they've responded. Brandon Graham was the last one to leave the field last night. He was distraught about that play. He shouldn't be. That was a one small play. He should be upset with the way the whole defense played, but he shouldn't be upset with the roughing the passer. You know, Jalen said in his press conferences that hungry dogs run faster. We all know that. We've heard that story before. And when they're full, they tend to not chase the food as much. Mm-hmm. We saw in the league this week, we saw some really hungry dogs. We saw Green Bay down 28-14, and they wanted it more than Dallas did. We saw Minnesota trailing Buffalo, and they wanted it more. So you saw two of the top teams in the league go down, and then so why wouldn't the Eagles suffer the same fate? And so we felt bad about this game going in, and it did happen. It's tough to beat a division opponent twice in a row. We hoped that we had him at home. Some things happened, fumbles, bad calls, but like you said, the ball just didn't bounce our way. And I also like what Nick Sirianni said. I do love Nick. I know that the problems on offense, a lot of it stemmed from there was a couple of three and outs after the interception as well. And so adjusting the play calling in the second half was huge. And that's what Nick Sirianni did. I still love Nick. I'm not a big on Jonathan Gannon. But Nick Sirianni said on the bad calls combined with the Eagles' mistakes, he said, quote, "You create your own luck and we played like crap. We didn't do a good enough job. It feels like things go against you." Those plays, those scenarios that happen when you play like that get magnified, whether it was the right call or the wrong call. So we made our own luck today and it was bad. And that's basically how it happened. Those balls not bouncing our way is when you don't play your best. And they are coming off a mini bye. They didn't play sharp. And all we can hope, especially since I'm going to be at the game in Indy, is that they play like hungry dogs again. Because if they play with the intensity they did during the first 8 weeks of the season, they'll definitely win the game against Indy. And then we'll see where it goes from there. Again, go back to take it 1 week at a time. And I remember in 2017 with this team that nobody gave a lot of chance to. And they won their first game. They lost the second to the Chiefs, 27-20, which was big. Then they went on a huge winning streak. And I think they got up to, I want to say, don't quote me on this, like 9-1. And then they played Seattle. And Seattle just ate their lunch. And they looked bad. They started to roll that high of that winning streak. And Seattle humbled them. And then everybody turned on the Eagles and said, oh, they must not have it. But then a couple of weeks later, or maybe a week later it was, they played the Rams and beat the Rams on the road. Wentz suffers the injury. But then they just got more and more resilient. They ended up beating the Raiders, beating the Giants with Nick Foles, and getting into the playoffs, winning the division, winning the number one seed regardless. So, Eagle fans, this is similar to that type of situation. We went on a run. We had a bump in the road. And it's now time to rally up, learn from it, and see how the rest of the season goes. We're not going anywhere. We're still going to be Eagles fans. We're still going to be Eagles fans for life. But we hope that this gets righted and the ship gets righted. So we will be this week, we will be covering the Indianapolis Colts game. We will be covering that probably a couple days. We're also going to do our fantasy football podcast this week, so be on the lookout for that. We will announce those before we go live. So if you're a fantasy football guy and you got questions for this week, we're going to do our live stream again. Seems to be very popular. We're getting quite a few people in that each and every week, so you don't want to miss it. With that being said, it's a long road to hoe. We're only halfway to the end of this. We still got a couple months left in the season, for crying out loud. Let's take a breath. As Aaron Rodgers says, relax. And let's see where it goes from here. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words.
Nah, man, thanks everybody for stopping by the Where Goose There podcast. Took that first L of the season, but we should be able to bounce back from it. We have a good team. They're led by a good quarterback. If you want fantasy advice, fantasy football advice from a fantasy expert, especially a guy that picks the high score, check us out. Stay tuned for the fantasy football part of our podcast as well, too, man. Look out for it. Hit that notification bell. So when we go live, you'll know. You have to stop by and holler at us, man. With that said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll catch you all guys later on the week.